Do you find it hard to explain to friends and family what you now do? Are you wasting valuable time by attempting to figure out challenges on your own? We have created a community for ex-corporate people running their own business who want to live a life they love whilst giving back to their community. This is the Build, Live, Give Show. We bring you firsthand experiences of guests going through many of the struggles you face each and every day. We get real with no corporate BS. And now your host, Paul Higgins.
Hi, I'm Paul Higgins, and welcome to the first episode of Build, Live, Give, a podcast and a community for people that want to build a great business, live a great life, and give back to their community. So in today's podcast, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story because I'll be the host through the majority of the podcast. So I want to tell you a little bit about why I created the Build, Live, Give community and share a bit of my story. Plus, I also want to give you a little snapshot of some of the questions that we'll be asking future guests so that you get a feel for what will be coming in future episodes. So for me, I basically started working for a company called Coca-Cola when I was three. That's right, my dad worked there, and basically as soon as I could talk and walk, I was part of the Coke fabric. So on a Sunday, I'd go to work with dad. He was very hard worker. We'd go along with my brother and I. We'd basically help him by consuming as much soft drink as we possibly could. So mum would say, don't you let those kids drink any. And of course, dad was busy working. And Fanta was sort of our favorite back then, those great little ribbed glass bottles. So we'd just drink as much Fanta as we could. And mum would come and ask us to open our mouths to say, look, have you been drinking? And what we did was we had the Fanta towel in the boot. And we basically just wiped off the Fanta for our mouths, and it went on beautifully. Dad was happy, we were happy, everyone was happy. And that sort of continued right through uni, not the Fanta drinking, but basically me working for Coke. So every opportunity, I worked at the Australian Open for 4 or 5 years. I did merchandising within grocery, whatever jobs were going, the World Cup soccer, I basically helped out. And it's fantastic in giving me a little bit of cash to go through university. And when I finished university, things were really tough, and I did accounting and marketing, and I really didn't know what I wanted to do, to be honest. And they threw the set of keys at me and said, why don't you become a rep and see how you go? And all through my life, they'd said you'd never work there because you're dad. And fortunately, they changed their rules. And that was sort of 18 years of a fantastic journey. I was very fortunate. The company it's one of the longest standing companies, as you know, in the world. The richest man in the world has made most of his wealth out of Coca-Cola. He owns about 10% of the stock, and the last time I checked, it was about a $900 billion market cap. So look, he's done very well, and it has put a smile on lots of faces. But that has changed over time. Society has changed, and certainly in Australia it has. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. But I was very fortunate to meet my wife there. I traveled around the world and I learned from some of the best people in the world. And it was an amazing journey. I really, really enjoyed it. And I've got friends for life out of that community. But I really had two key decisions. One was, did I want to continue down the corporate path? As I got to the pointy end, I realized just how political it was and how difficult and the sacrifice you had to make for family was getting harder and harder. And the other thing was I had a condition called polycystic kidney disease, which was sort of ticking in the background. I've known about it since I was 18, and it hadn't really impacted me, but it was starting to get closer, and I knew at some point I'd have to go on dialysis or have a transplant. And really working on a plane and traveling and doing all the things that corporate executives are meant to do just wasn't going to work for me in my particular situation. So I decided to leave. And also the other key thing was that conflict. I joke about having a lot of Fanta as a kid, but really I was conflicted. Like I was working for probably one of the biggest sugar distributors in the world, being Coca-Cola. And sugars, is one of the major causes of kidney disease, not in my case, but certainly in others with diabetes, et cetera. So I sort of, I felt like I was living two lives. I sort of didn't feel that the company's values and what they were doing in society really matched mine. So I basically left. So then I started on my journey of entrepreneurship. And look, if I asked my parents today, they still probably don't know what that journey is. And it's been 6 years and there's been lots of pivots. But I started as a coach and I really found two key pain points for most of my clients. One was time and the other was cash. And what I did was find some solutions to match those. So one was technology. So I found a great technology platform and a group of platforms to really help people. And then also outsourcing. So I went down the path of outsourcing and set up a team in the Philippines, and that was wonderful. And, you know, for 5 years, I loved the lifestyle, but I must admit the finances were quite tight and I was sort of paying everyone except myself. So I promised my wife that I'd, you know, have a monthly amount that would go in our bank account, and I just wasn't meeting it. So we had some overseas trips, we did some great things, but I wasn't really paying myself what I should. And there was that pressure to sort of go back into corporate. And that hit home really hard, and I just didn't want to go back. Not just because how proud I was that I didn't succeed, but I just, you know, had loved the lifestyles living and loved working with small business people, and I just didn't want to go back to that corporate world. Not saying it's not for others, I completely get that, but it certainly wasn't for me. So in short, I joined a mastermind, and within 6 months, I sort of cracked the code and completely turned it around. And, you know, I traveled overseas for 2 months with my family prior to me, you know, I basically stage 5 kidney failure. So that was fantastic. And what I learned out of that mastermind is two key things. One is a really clear roadmap of what to do. And the second was the accountability of being in a mastermind with people. And I love that. And that then led me to find my community, because I found that the mastermind I was in was great, but it had a lot of digital online people, or it had a lot of people that were only small business, hadn't worked in corporate before. And there was also other groups that were very much catered to the small startup, but weren't similar to the journey I had, which was, you know, senior executive at Coca-Cola to running my own business. And also I really did believe in that give component. So for me, it's about giving back to kidney research and generating funds for kidney research. And for many of people listening to this podcast, you've got a, you know, something you want to leave your mark on, and it may not be just, you know, pushing a sugary soft drink like I did. It's actually helping the world in a better way. So I wanted to create that community. And effectively, I, you know, scratched my own itch. So I couldn't find something and I've just created it. So there's a free Facebook group called Build, Live, Give. And we've got around 200 people in it at the moment. It's only just launched a couple of weeks ago. But with the podcast and hopefully with the value that we add, that community can grow. And it's really about people wanting to, you know, build a great business, live a great life and give back to the community. And then I also run a high-paid mastermind called the Tracks End Club, which once again was taking all my learnings from Coke, from having different coaches through my journey, and then being part of my mastermind. I've sort of picked the best of that and created my own club. The guests that you're going to get on the future podcast are real people, and they'll share real stories and experiences. There's a lot of podcasts out there where people talk secondhand. This will certainly be about people talking about their experiences, and also, you know, how they want to leave a mark on the world. And you'll get a great understanding of, you know, what their journey is and how you can also help them by being successful in that journey. And most interviews will go for around 15, 20 minutes. And they'll also at the end share some really practical advice so you can implement action, because I think it's important to have the journey and the story so that you can learn things through that, but also have some really practical advice at the end of the interview. And as I said, they'll be weekly, and already we've got some great interviews ready for you to listen to in the podcast app. So certainly go and do that. And also I'd love for you to check out our Facebook group, our free closed Facebook group called Build, Live, Give, or go to our website, buildlivegive.com. And there you can get access to the podcast. And also what I'd love to have is some 5-star reviews. Obviously, the more people that review the community, we can start to grow it, and it can ultimately help you, the listener, and the Build, Live, Give community to grow. And what I'll do now is just go through some quick examples of some of the questions that I'll be asking guests in future episodes. So one is, you know, tell me a little bit about you outside of work. So what are your family or your friends would know that our listeners wouldn't? And it's sort of a bit of the icebreaker question. And for me, I'd obviously talk about PKD, which I have on this episode. But you know, back in '94, I went to Cairo with my brother, and we stupidly, I still can't believe I did this, we actually rode out to the Valley of the Kings on push bikes in 50 degree heat. I just couldn't imagine. Well, you know, just think about it. I'm a very, well, you wouldn't know, but I'm a fairly light bone sort of guy, you know, especially with my kidneys, I'm fairly light. And I was leaving a huge indent in the asphalt on this particular bike. It was ridiculously hot, and I can't survive. We believe we survived, but we did. Another one was, you know, what was sort of holding you back from starting your own business and leaving corporate? And I think this is a great question because everyone's got a different reason. But for me, there were sort of three key things. One was I was constantly getting new promotions. So, you know, every 2 years I'd get a new job, and I'd sort of reach director level, and the promotions were fantastic. And it wasn't just the money, it was more the challenges. The second is that I just had too many ideas. Every time I spoke to someone, I'd come up with a new idea around, you know, what product I could launch or what service I could launch. And, you know, I was always hearing gaps in the market, and I was really overwhelmed by how many. And the third thing was I really couldn't do it part-time, so I wanted to completely burn the bridge, and I wanted to make sure I had enough income to survive, you know, 1 to 2 years. And I highly recommend that you be conservative in your estimates of how long it'll take to build a business. For me to be, you know, the lifestyle part came fairly quickly, but the finance bit took a lot longer. So that was the key things there. What were your greatest fears when leaving? I think my greatest fear was going from a expert in what I did. So if I walked into a room, if I had to present on stage, I was an expert. I'd actually build up experiences that warranted that expertise. But actually starting my own business, I was a complete novice. So it was like I was leaving uni again and starting a career. And I found that a really big fear to get over, which, you know, in short, was sort of self-confidence. Also, how's it different from being in corporate to now running your own business? And I think there's a couple of key points. One is that I have the freedom to manage my health. So it was a massive thing for me to take control. And even now, I've got to go for different blood tests and do all different things during the day that I just couldn't manage whilst I was in corporate. So, you know, it's taken me 5 years to get to that, but I'm really glad I did. The other is the politics. I normally speak my mind, and I'm very high on values and behaviours, and I just found it really difficult when senior people didn't live. So they'd say one thing in public and another thing in private. And when I sort of got access to the board and what happened, I just realised that a lot of it was around the value of saving their career rather than the value they were adding to shareholders. And that's natural, and I get that, but it was very competitive and I didn't like that at all. And that sort of led to people not sharing. And what I love about running my own business and working with small business people is that they love to share, and the pie is big enough, right? There's so many people that have got a demand for our services that, you know, in our Tracks End Club, we actually have had three levels. We have a high, medium, and low value price point on the one particular topic. So, you know, there's always plenty of opportunity there, so it's not as competitive. And what I really love is doing work that I love, that I can make a difference. So when I go to a barbecue now, when I was about to leave Coke and I said, you know, I work for Coca-Cola, it was sort of getting a bit on the nose, to be honest, and it didn't make me feel good inside. Whereas now I go and say, look, you know, I help ex-corporate people, you know, build a business and leave a mark, whatever that legacy is, you know, people want to know about it, they want to understand it more, and they want to share that with others, which I find fantastic. And the last thing is you end up being proud of the legacy that you are leaving. And if I look at my kids, you know, I spend a lot of time with them. I love that. But also I love the fact that, you know, they're proud of me and what I've achieved and what I do. The next is, you know, what are some of the biggest challenges that you faced when you were growing your business? And for me, I sort of bucket them into five key areas. So one was personal productivity. You know, you just go from having a really large team in corporate to all of a sudden doing everything yourself. And I was working some ridiculous hours until I got a VA and sort of reduced that. So that was one. The ideal client, when I was really struggling for cash at the start, I just thought everyone was a client. So it wouldn't matter what encounter, where it was, I would just try to get everyone onto my particular product. And because it was coaching, you know, most people I felt needed it, but they really didn't. And it took me a long time to really nail who my ideal client is, which, you know, hopefully the people on this podcast. The next was the right business model. So I tried, you know, working for the hour, and that was sort of like coaching and by the hour. And then we've sort of transitioned that over time to now it's a recurring model, and we run communities and software, etc. So really fine-tuning that model I found really difficult, and I had the wrong model to begin with. Then sales. So I think it's okay if you don't get a big sale in corporate because there's so many others, but here it really impacts you, and you've got to divorce yourself from the fact that they're not saying no to you, they're just saying that the need is not right. But it's really hard to do that, and I found it hard to get to the right people. Everyone's so busy. It's really hard to get to the right people and make sure that they've got something that you can solve. So I found that difficult. And the last thing was building the team, especially building a team overseas. You're not there as regularly. And all the you know, the techniques that I developed from Cope, some of them applied, but not all of them. So I had to develop some new techniques. So that was sort of the biggest challenges I had. One of the other questions I ask guests is around the morning routine. And for me, it's pretty simple. First thing is meditation. So the first thing I get up and do is meditate, and I use the Headspace app, which I highly recommend. Next is some form of fitness, whether it's riding a bike, going to the gym, playing tennis, doing something physical, and that's really important for me for my condition, but I think it's important regardless. The next is the daily reflection. So I actually read the best content that I've accumulated over my 20-plus years, and it's just a one-page summary. And that really helps ground me on what's most important and the key lessons I've learned, because you can get really caught up in the day-to-day busyness of life and miss those key learnings. And the last one is doing projects. So I don't do email. I have a VA that does all of that. So in the morning when I'm at my most productive, I work on the biggest projects that are going to drive my business forward and not get stuck into all the social media and email distractions. Next question is around the impact that it's had on family and friends. And I sort of mentioned it before, but I think the biggest thing for me is that my children now have a dad, whereas before they had a corporate guy pretending to be a dad. And I think that's been the biggest change that's occurred for me and my family. So then I'll ask questions around give, so around cause, and this gives everyone the opportunity to help people. And for me, it's PKD Australia. Anything to do with polycystic kidney disease, you know, worldwide it impacts 1 in 400 people, and there's really no research or no investment by the Australian government at the moment on research, so it's all self-funded. So whatever I can do, so a percentage of my income that I generate goes, and also hopefully in the future I'll launch a podcast that can spread people's stories and journeys around that. So that's what I do, and that's why I'm really passionate. And then the last section is around that take action. So it's really about specific advice that we're going to give people. And so the first is around my number one productivity tip. And I've sort of mentioned it a few times, but just getting a virtual assistant I think is critical. I've got two VAs and I've got a project manager. And, you know, it's taken me some time to build that. But when they're not working for a day, I really feel it. So I think that's critical. The next is, you know, what apps do you use on your mobile phone? So I had a quick look, and, you know, other than the usual ones that everyone will mention, the ones for me is Podio, so P-O-D-I-O. It's a platform that we use, and we also a lot of our clients use, and that's fantastic. So that's sort of my go-to. And I get all of the email, the communication, social media all come into one place, and then a one task list. So it's really easy for me to know what to do. The next is way of life, and that's just embedding the key habits that you want in life that make you or help you build, live, give. So that's a great little app. And there's a couple on Android as well. That's an iPhone one. And the Headspace app, which I mentioned before. And then, what are some of the favorite podcasts that I listen to? So I like Mixergy. That's great. Online Marketing Made Easy by Amy Porterfield. Corporate marketing to small business is very different, so I really get some great things out of that. James Schramko with Super Fast Business is an excellent podcast, has some great guests, and also the Virtual Success Show. I really enjoy that one as well. And the last question is, you know, what's the one piece of advice you'd leave and or you'd give for someone starting their own business? And I think for me, it's joining that mastermind. I think, you know, having a clear roadmap and having some accountability really makes a massive difference. And you get that in corporate, but when you're by yourself, it can get quite lonely and it's easy just to let things slip. And time is your greatest asset as a small business owner. And I think having someone and also having a peer group that understand you and get you and hold you accountable to using your time, I think is fantastic. So how can you find out more? Obviously, download the other episodes of the podcast. There's a few up now, so you can go download and listen to those. Love for you to leave a 5-star review. And also, if you want to find more about the Build, Live, Give community, just go to buildlivegive.com and we'd love to see you in the community.
Thank you for listening to the Build, Live, Give show. If you found this show helpful, please share it with others so we can build businesses, live great lives, and give back to the community. If you would like to join the BLG community, go to our website, www.buildlivegive.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.